To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
You hope for, you look for, you dream of a regular season when nobody beats you. And right now, it's official. Final score, Oregon 49, Washington 21.
Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup. Oregon versus Washington.
We've lost our in-state rivals. We'll never be competitive again. Like, we need to hate each other, and we need to be at each other's throats.
It's Rivalry Week on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan, and the Fan Sports Network.
Here we come. It's a man's game now.
Here we go.
Happy Football Wednesday, everybody. What is happening?
I knew you'd get those football games in there.
You gotta get it. We got football tomorrow, baby. 10 a.m.
We do.
We got a 10 out of 10 on the pitch and a 10 scale on those first two games.
We got any action today? Is there any, like, football in our lives today?
I actually think there's no football today.
I'm going to tell you this.
I thought there was action yesterday. UMass played yesterday.
I think yesterday ended the 49-day streak of football. We had 49 days in a row where there was some football game.
I thought I read that was no supposed game to not be a thing until, like, January.
No,
I thought I read that. But.
I saw a tweet yesterday that said with the Maction and the Bowling Green UMass and Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan playing, ended a 49-day streak of
nothing tomorrow,
football.
And then on Thanksgiving, the only college game on Thanksgiving is Navy at Memphis.
Massive game.
That is a big game.
What are the American play-in scenarios for their conference title game? Have we spent any time on that?
No.
Because they got to win the conference title to be the group of six representative, and I think Navy's still alive in that.
Can I tell you this?
You fire away, Bob.
I don't care, nor will I follow any group of six playoff situations. Just tell me who's in.
Just tell me at the end
I'm
of the day.
I'm not diving
who gets
into
there.
Reading like playoff tiebreakers.
Who could it be?
I don't know half the conferences these teams are in. I'm just like, oh, Memphis is hot. Now it's Tulane. Now it's Navy.
There are 3 1-loss teams in the American Conference in conference play. North Texas, who just lost their coach, but not yet.
Okay.
Tulane.
Well,
who might lose their coach,
they did
but
lose
not
their
yet.
Coach.
Well, not yet. He's coaching out the year.
Okay.
He's finishing the year. Okay. He's not walking away from a title run.
Sure.
And Navy. They are all 1-loss teams in the American Athletic Conference.
Well, it's a nice Wednesday. We have a lot to be grateful here.
Grateful for a lot of things.
It's nice to be in. It's a weird show. It's going to be a weird show, but in like a good way.
Yes.
Yesterday felt like today was a day off to me.
Kind of did, yeah.
Because I knew we had so much to get to on the show.
It's not really a lot of prep that goes into this one.
And I don't think anybody's really going to be in our office today.
No.
And so it's just like, and my kids are off, and I got woken up by a loose hamster.
Running around the house.
Got out of the cage again.
Uh-oh. that's not
under the stove. And I'm like, oh no, the hamster's loose. I had to wake my wife up.
Under the stove.
Yeah.
That can't be easy to entice out of from underneath the stove. Well, you go flashlight.
The hamster's been working too much on the wheel. It like pushed the little metal cage up or something.
Getting big, huh?
If you remember the FUP day, you know hamsters at night, if you have a hamster and it has a wheel, they run like 8 miles.
Just run.
Yeah.
Which, hey, why not? You're cooped up in a cage all day. You might as well stretch those legs out.
Just got Eminem playing in his ear.
Yeah.
Lose yourself in the music moment.
The good news is they're underrated fat, so if you get one loose, you put a little food next to where you think they are. Guess who comes crawling out?
Right. That's how you get them.
Simple creatures.
Oh, yeah. Simple creatures. Just like us.
Want a little cracker? Yeah, I want a cracker.
Of course,
I want
a cracker.
Fine, I'll
Daddy needs a cracker.
What if we were attacked by aliens and it was an alien that wanted to catch us and either eat us or test us? What's the food item you think would trick you in coming out of the cave or wherever you're hiding and be like, oh, that looks delicious?
Now, am I aware an alien invasion is going on?
Yeah, but you're not really fully aware that they're capturing people.
Okay, we're not sure exactly what the end result
is. It's just mass chaos and people are scattering everywhere. What's the food item?
I mean, I hate to admit this. There's a handful of them, probably.
I think yours is not a tomahawk. Steak.
Dude, if an alien was like, hey, you want this perfectly medium rare tomahawk steak sliced for you? It's all cut, ready to go, or you can just eat it off the bone. I'm probably walking out of my hiding spot for that.
Yeah.
That's also not the only one, and I'm ashamed to admit that, but you put like you give me the smell of pizza in a room, and I'm like, you give me a little bacon sniff, too.
A little bacon sniff might get me to poke my head out.
What are we doing over there? What do we got?
I like so many things. There's not one particular food that's like I'm a zombie for.
Right.
I can hold out for a while, but eventually I'll just, something will smell so good. I'm like,
all right. I do have you. I have swag under the stove, and then the bacon smell, and his nose pokes out.
Just the tip of the nose. The crispy. That smells good right there.
You guys got all your shopping done? All your food ready to go?
I did hunt down everything I need yesterday. It took me a couple of stops. You wouldn't think turkey sausage was so damn hard to find.
Dude, turkey sausage.
Is everybody out of it because of the week we're in right now? Or what's the deal?
No, turkey. So do you do the pre-cooked links, the patties, or what do you do with turkey sausage?
No. It goes in the stuffing. So it's the raw. And then I'll chop up apples and dried cranberries that go in with the turkey sausage that then goes into the stuffing.
Oh, you're the homemade stuffing guy.
Yes.
Look at you.
I'm a stovetop boy.
You go stovetop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's chicken broth and
it's a lot easier.
The mix.
It's a lot easier. I think it depends on how many things you're cooking too. Like if that's the only thing that you're making, you know, then it's a little bit easier to go scratch homemade. Stop, let's create this a little bit. But if you got 10 things on your menu.
The stuffing has been requested over the years. And so
you're known for your stuffing.
Known for the stuffing. So that's going one place. And then for the evening gathering, I was tasked with putting a charcuterie board together.
Mm. I love putting it together.
Which is way more expensive than anything.
It's more expensive than everything.
Else.
Dude, it adds up quickly because that's one of the things that we have to do. We have to do a salad for our first Thanksgiving, which, you know, easiest thing humanly possible. Mm. Nothing there. And then a charcuterie board for Thanksgiving number two. And I was blown away at how many
nuts, dried fruit, and
it adds
meat.
Adds up so quickly.
You can rack up $100 without even thinking about it.
Easy. Why is cheese so expensive, man? Let's figure this out. What's happening?
Why are dried meats so expensive?
Right.
A pack of salami.
It's a slice of salami. Why is
protein, any protein now, it's stupid.
But I heard prices were coming down.
Everything's coming down. Everything's cheap now.
Yeah, of course.
So we got to spend some time tonight cutting up everything for the. It's also a lot of work to put that thing together. And I don't care as much. The wife cares a lot more than I do. Where I'm just like, just put it on the plate. Everybody will eat it. But no, it's got to be.
No,
it's got to be planned out. It's got to be in the right order. Everything's got to be next to the other thing.
Decorating a charcuterie. We talked about the housekeeping Olympics. There's got to be somewhere
charcuterie board Olympics.
A charcuterie board competition, like the way you lay it out and design it and how you use the dried fruits and the nuts and everything.
My favorite thing about it is similar to like when you order pizzas for an office party and you get like a handful of cheeses, a couple of meat lovers and some veggies. Yeah. And then at the end
Nobody
of the pizza party,
the
there's two slices of veggie that are gone. Yeah. All the cheese and all the pepperoni is gone. That's usually the way that it works.
Yeah.
I love doing that with the charcuterie board as well. You take it and there's always like two columns that go completely untouched. Nobody wants anything to do with them. Mm. And then the rest of it gets eaten.
Well, So I'm not like a big, I just don't find the value of putting any fruit on the charcuterie board, to
neither
your
do,
point.
Like, neither do I.
It's about the crackers, the meat, and the cheese, right?
Yes, yes.
Like, charcuterie boards, if done well, they are the generic white people charcuterie board of cheddar cheese, thick summer sausage.
Yeah, it's got to have some
and a Ritz cracker.
Yes, now we're talking. Yeah.
That's my charcuterie
That's all
board.
That I need. I don't yeah. need any dry fruit on there.
What's this meat? Prosciutto. I don't need that. Why does this cheese smell like a weird foot?
That smells way too expensive for my taste.
I don't need it. It's unnecessary and it's too expensive. So the fruits, and I'd even say the dried fruits and the nuts.
I'm out.
Just unnecessary.
I'm out. We got them for our board, but I'm out.
I get it.
I'm not touching those nuts.
I get it.
The nuts are not for me.
Now, salad, did you end up going, like, if it was me and they're like, Sprague, we need you to do a salad, I would, honest to God, go get 3 bags of the Caesar kit, and I would just put that in a bowl and call it good.
What is that what you're doing?
Caesar salad's elite.
Yeah, that's exactly what
And I'm not
doing.
Wasting a lot of my
I'm
time.
I'm not spending 2 hours tonight chopping up lettuce and carrots
anchovies.
And tomatoes.
Get out of here.
I'm not doing any of that.
Get out of here.
My wife went to the grocery store last week, said, hey, we need to do a salad for Thanksgiving. Hey, here's 2 bags of pre-made salad. We're good to go.
Yeah.
Pour it in a bowl. There you go. Show up on Thanksgiving.
So my mom's coming over Friday because she works tomorrow. And I told her, like, the original plan was to do, like, an Eggs Benedict brunch.
Yeah, you were going to do brunch. And she...
She kind of was like, you're not doing turkey, huh? Not doing the stuff.
You're not going to make me a turkey?
I bought one of those young baby turkeys that they probably slaughtered way too early.
She guilted you into making a turkey on Friday.
I'm doing mac and cheese, turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes.
So you got 2 meals going. You got 2 full days going here.
Well, I'm not doing anything tomorrow. I'm going to my nephew's. It's his actual birthday on Thanksgiving. It's that weird rotation where it's landed on his birthday. So, like, my sister-in-law is making everything, and I originally was tasked with doing something. I called her yesterday, I go, what are you making? And she rattles it off, and I'm like, that's like 15 items.
You don't need me to make anything here.
I am going to try something. I'm going to make a dessert. I keep seeing it on my algorithm, which tells you all you need to know about my fat-ass algorithm. I'm going to try a Biscoff cheesecake.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh.
It looks amazing.
Okay. Are there any other desserts at the Thanksgiving meal?
Well, she's doing apple pie. My family hates apple pie.
So this is more of a, I know what my family wants to eat, and I'm going to bring a dessert for us.
Well, my youngest will eat apple pie more so than cheesecake, but it's more like just an apple pie. I think you need a variety at Thanksgiving. Sure. You need multiple dessert options.
Okay.
That's
totally
my opinion.
Fair.
Yes, you do.
That's fair.
Especially if it's a gathering of more than, like, if you're... Once you get to like 8 or 10, there better be multiple options.
That's kind of what we're sitting with. There's going to be about 15 of us.
Yeah.
As a non-pie person, there's not a lot of pies that I enjoy. I'm anti-pie. Thanksgiving dessert time is a little tough.
What do you do for Thanksgiving dessert? Like, what do you
look forward
to?
I have to be the awkward guy that's like, no, I'm okay. And they're like, please, try a slice. And I'm like, all right. And then you end up begrudgingly taking a slice that you don't really want. Oh. Then you have like 2 bites of it and you like slowly slip back.
I'm
just out on pie. I'm out on pie.
Is it the crust? I mean, the filling is.
I mean, give me a chocolate mousse pie. I'm all about that. Okay. I'll eat that bad boy. But like in terms of a pumpkin pie's okay. It's passable. Mm. It's all right. I'm not jonesing for a slice of pumpkin pie.
If that's really because
cake is the superior dessert. That's the problem here. Why can't we do Thanksgiving cake?
It's not.
Superior dessert.
Pie is better.
No, it's not. Not even close. You give me frosting. You give me different flavors. I get frosting in the middle of the cake. Thanksgiving cake should become a thing.
I'll give you my favorite take is like I love pies. I love pies with fruits. I love pies like key limes. You know, it doesn't matter. Filling pies. My favorite is breakfast pie. I will take whatever pie we have left over.
Oh,
in that
left
fridge,
over for breakfast,
and I'll just eat it. It ice cold, please. I love that.
Next morning, wake up, just spoonful of feeding pie.
Cake
out
is
of
not
the
better than pie.
Cake is superior. I'm
no,
that
it
first
is not.
Poll question of the day.
No,
what
it's
is
not.
The superior dessert? Cake or pie? First poll question of the day is going up.
It's like, oh, what's your cake? Is it chocolate or vanilla? Like, there's no versatility with.
You could go carrot cake. Yeah, there's a million different cakes that you can kind of make. Get out of here.
Cake.
There is no filled in delightful icing on top in the middle of your pie.
Can I tell you a dirty secret about me?
Yeah. How's dessert? Is dessert 1S or 2?
2.
2 S's?
2.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Desert is 1S.
Desert's 1.
Desert. Yeah. Dessert.
So we were in your neck of the woods on the main drag.
Oh, yeah.
In the town in which you live.
Down in the hood.
And we went to a used bookstore.
Oh, yeah.
And right down the road from the used bookstore, I've eyed this place for maybe years at this point, and I've never stopped. There's a dessert place. Piece of fill in the blank.
Ah, yeah.
So we went in there and we were like, let's be a little fat. Let's treat ourselves here.
Get ourselves a piece of cake.
Dude, I walked out and I had spent $60.
What?
Ouch. Because these slices of desserts
big
are
old thick
13,
slices. No, ooh.
Good slice, not big old thick slice.
I've never been in there before.
$60.
That's a lot
for
of money.
Four of us.
That's a lot of money for four slices.
And I was
of cake.
Like, oh.
Okay, that added up quickly.
Well, I haven't been.
That's a lot of money.
It's one thing if you get it and it's and we're talking like a jumbo slice and it's massive and
not
it's
a
like
jumbo
almost
slice.
To the point where you're like, I don't even know if I could eat this all by myself.
Well,
that's the kind of slice
is the original
I need.
Papa Haydn's still down there
it
in
is.
Selwood?
Yes, it is. And delightful it, dessert down
and,
there.
And yeah, and they go over the top. It's like a 10 yeah. layer cake. If you get
yes.
a piece of cake,
but
it's
how
like
much is that slice?
Probably
it's
probably
spendy.
In that
place.
$15 to $18 yeah. range depending on the type and
it's a wonderful restaurant.
I asked how much is your whole cakes? Because the cake, I will say this, to be fair.
It's a good cake.
Delicious. Okay. All of the desserts were delicious. We power ranked them and whatnot. But I said, how much is one of these cakes? Like if a slice is that this much, how much
were
is the
$100
whole cake?
Cakes?
$110.
Whoa! Ho, ho, ho.
And I didn't say this, but I'm like.
How tall is that cake?
A taller than a cake you'd make yourself.
Okay.
But, like not.
We're going 4 inches tall?
Did it have like the thin layers? Like there's
it,
10, 12.
Three thin layers is how I would just. Not thin, but okay. like medium.
That's a spendy cake, man.
And I said, man, that's okay.
Just go to Freddy's and buy one for like
so
$15.
I feel like I'm like, Steve Martin in Father yeah. of the Bride.
What?
But
cake
he made a good point. He
frunk.
Goes, yeah.
It's flour and eggs.
Right.
And, yeah.
He made a good point, though. He was like, if you have a party of 12
such
people.
Such a good movie, man.
You know, if you have a party of 12 people and you cut it into slices, he goes, sometimes we get people that have huge parties and they'll buy one and we have, you could see like the pre-cut slice indicators.
Yeah.
He goes, they'll cut that slice in half because some people won't want to fill themselves
you
on dessert.
You just want a half a yeah. slice of cake.
And so everybody feels yeah. better about eating the cake. And then if you're like 20 people deep, now that price isn't as bad.
That's true. If you add up that many people, you know, putting money in to go buy the cake,
yeah.
it's not terrible. That's a spendy cake. Spendy cake.
Point is, pie more superior than cake.
Yeah. The poll question is up. Go vote. Don't okay. make me look like an idiot, okay? Go vote. Go vote hard on this thing.
There's so many pie options.
I mean, the pie definitely has more versatility.
And
that
I
will
get,
not deny.
I think we get cheesecake on our end.
Ooh.
Cheesecake's fantastic. Never go wrong with cheesecake.
Is it cheese pie or is it cheesecake?
It's cheesecake.
Yeah, but it's in the pie family.
It's a cake.
It's a cousin of pie.
it's a brother of cake.
Cake is the stepdad. And unfortunately, it's gotten the name of the stepdad.
I'm not letting you get away with claiming cheesecake.
Is cheesecake
no chance.
More in the
pie? In our cake pie draft, there's no chance I'm letting you get away with
dude,
this.
Dude, cheesecake is the Tiger Woods
if
of our
anything,
draft.
It's a hybrid.
Asian,
if anything, it's a little bit of both, and you don't get to claim. Neither gets to claim it. That's
so
the only.
Dessert is the Wu-Tang claim.
You should put that up as a poll question.
Is cheesecake
more a cake or a pie?
Okay, that'll be the next one.
We got a lot to get to today. It's a busy show. Let's start with this. We had a domino fall, and we're going to have more dominoes fall. It seems like we will. Seems very likely. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me.
Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, first response to your poll question. Cake is supreme. Pies are for peasants. You won't see a pie worth $100 or more.
That was not me, I promise. I did not say that.
That's not your burner
that
account?
That is not my burner
Dame
account on
Goat
social
Cheese
media.
Isn't your burner
Dame
account?
Dame Goat Cheese is not my burner account, I promise.
I tell you right now, Dame Goat Cheese, bad take, and I am a peasant. That's why I do love pies.
Look, we're early on in the results.
Pies are for pores.
I don't think these are going to age well for me. I think I'm going to get doubled up here. I have a bad feeling about both these poll questions. Right
really?
Now. I do. I'm not feeling very confident.
It's off to a good
take.
Start for you.
I know it is. I'm worried. I'm worried long term how this thing's going to shake out.
You go to a holiday get together. How often, sans a birthday, a holiday, do you have people bringing in cakes versus there's pies?
See, we don't do a lot of, the only time I ever eat pie is usually Thanksgiving. That's about it.
No, you guys like, what do you do for Christmas? Cookies?
Yeah. Cookies or other kind of, you know, snacky knickknacks that are sweets. You know, my wife loves doing those. Yeah. Like a Christmas crack. She makes that every year. There's, you know, different things that you can
What's
make.
What's a Christmas crack?
It's like you do like a certain cracker and then there's some frosting on it and then some other, I can't remember exactly what all goes into it. Some chocolate that's mixed in there somehow. And
really?
You kind of harden it. You put it in the fridge. Then you eat it. It's delightful. I eat it in the bunches. So that's usually the go-to Christmas dessert for me. So not a lot of pies around my life, but I'm also not a pie guy, so I'm not bringing it anywhere.
I'll never forget Swag. We had to come in, and I don't remember what it was for, but we had to do a random Saturday show or weekend show, and it was when we had a Jams Fourth with us, and I brought donuts in, and Dirk goes, I don't eat dessert. And I absolutely judged him in that. I was like,
oh, you totally
what?
Did. What?
You don't eat dessert?
Look at you. I'm not buying
you
that
don't like
at
donuts?
All. You not eating donuts? I don't think so.
That was cake donut, too, right?
That was, alley. Yeah. I'm a very limited number of donuts that I'm willing to get down on. But if you put the right one in front of me, I'll eat it.
Another response. Cake is for birthdays, and that's it. Anybody who doesn't like pies, an uncouth savage.
There you go. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Shout out to all the fats out there. We're
yes.
all with you.
Yes. Everybody's going to be fat tomorrow.
The domino has fallen.
Oh, uh-oh.
In Stillwater. It was announced yesterday that Oklahoma State is searching for a coach no more. They have found their guy.
Yes, they have.
And he's just a little bit below them. In North Texas, Eric Morris, a guy that, you know, some Beef fans for a while kicking around, hey, can we go get that guy? Turns out Eric Morris is pretty good, and he's a little above an Oregon State-level job. He's going to be the Oklahoma State coach. So that was announced yesterday. He will finish out the season. And so there's one job. You could just scratch right off the list. The Mean Green are 10-1 this year.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, I don't know if you saw this or anybody saw this. An hour before it was announced that he was going to be the Oklahoma State coach, the University of North Texas, just on their main university account, tweeted, if you're having any mental health issues, please contact. And everyone, did they get ahead of the announcement that Eric Morris?
If you were a little worried right now, give us a call. Here's the hotline that you can reach out to.
But he's going to be the new Cowboy coach, Eric yep. Morris.
I mean, look, with all these coaches, we should say the same thing over and over and over again. Nobody has any clue how this is going to work.
Give me a take.
That being said,
give me a take.
It seems like it's a great hire. He's an offensive mind. He's only 40 years old. He's rapidly risen up the ranks. He has spent time in that conference during his time in the Big 12 at Texas Tech. He was there from like 2013 to 2018.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to Incarnate Word. He finds Cam Ward. He goes to Washington State. He's there for a year.
He also found Mateer.
Helps recruit John Mateer. He goes to North Texas. He's been there for 2 years. And this year, they have a legitimate shot at making the college football playoff. Third year, I should say. He was at North Texas his third season. But clearly heading in the right direction, clearly an offensive mind. And when you think, to me, this isn't always the way the team should hire, but for Oklahoma State, it is. Like, what's your identity? What have you been known for the last 20 years? Up-tempo offense, throwing the football, pushing it downfield. Like, a lot of those intangibles – that you had under Gundy that you were trying to build your roster to be able to do, and I know that wasn't the way their season played out, is exactly what Eric Morris is going to try and do as a head coach. So is he? Can he recruit? Can he get them back to where they were? Who the hell knows? But in terms of the pool of candidates that were available, a guy who, as you mentioned, was going to be possibly up for other jobs. Now, the Oklahoma State job's better than the Oregon State job because you're in a Power 4 conference. But was Arkansas sniffing around this guy? Like, were any other schools trying to hire Eric Morris? I don't know what it was like behind the scenes for him. Get the deal done, lock him down, and I think this is a good hire for Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I was reading an article after Wilcox got fired, and it was on The Athletic, and it was basically, what is the Cal job? Like, I think that's the tough thing. So, to me, is Eric Morris going to pan out ultimately for Oklahoma State? I mean, nobody knows the answer to that. I'm going to lean that he actually will do a good job because of his track record, his history, his ability to, you know, identify and find talent. I think he's going to plug himself super into that Texas-Oklahoma high school pipeline and be obsessed with it in a way that maybe some coaches in that state or in those states.
He's a Texas guy, too. He's from Texas.
Exactly. He's made enough connection. When you can find a Cam Warden and a John Mateer that tells me you have a really good eye and an ability to connect with people who are letting you know, hey, this guy's getting under-recruited.
By the way, not to mention his quarterback this year, who had never played a high school game before, is one of the best statistical quarterbacks
out,
in the country.
He started out, what, sixth on the depth chart?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're 11-1 or 10-1 or whatever
it is. 10-1,
he's probably going to bring that kid with him, but
right.
Who knows.
And look, that's how this all works, right? It's transactional with coach and player both. What I find interesting is this is a good hire, I think, from just a personnel standpoint. I also think it's a smart move. You do not want to be the non-power available school in the race here. Because, like, if it's you and then it's LSU.
Yeah, those are the two jobs that haven't been filled yet. Gulp.
Well, but, like, Cal and Stanford are interesting. I have no idea. Can you tell me which job's better?
No.
Right.
No.
So I'm reading this, and my takeaway after reading the pieces, I don't think anybody knows if Cal a good job.
Yeah.
They have Ron Rivera being the GM. Is that good?
There's a lot of hurdles administratively that you got to jump through. You're traveling across the country to play your games. You're recruiting an East Coast platform, but you're playing on the West Coast.
You're not an Ivy League, but you have some.
And your home game, how many of their home games started at 7 o'clock or later?
Because that's the ESPN TV deal. Yeah, they need the late TV window because it doesn't exist anymore. So Cal and Stanford play a lot. Where is Stanford playing this weekend?
Yeah.
They get Notre Dame in town, final game of the season. It's a 7:30 p.m. kick on Saturday night.
And sometimes that's a benefit for you because you're making those long-distance teams travel to you, right? Like Florida State going to – and they lose to Stanford, going to Stanford and losing to Stanford. Like, that can work in your benefit somehow, but or sometimes. But this is kind of my point is this is a good move because you've gotten a candidate that people like. He's really well-respected around the sport. And you've also taken yourself out of, like – hey, man, we don't have to be involved in fighting for other candidates the way some of these other schools. Arkansas is a good one. We saw Colorado State hire Jim Mora Jr. yesterday.
Yeah, how about that?
Pac-12 Jim Mora.
He's back, baby.
He is back. And so now you're just Stanford and Cal's and Arkansas's and LSU's and Florida's. Like, they're all still searching for this situation. Yeah. And that's not even mentioning, well, we have other openings. Is Lane going to leave? And now here comes Ole Miss as a job. I think it's better to identify who you like, run with it, and get it done for the recruiting purposes. Also, you don't want to be involved in the, are we better than a Stanford type job?
Yeah, it's funny because to your point, it almost turns into a game of musical chairs that you don't want to be the last guy without a chair. It's just standing there like, uh-oh, everybody else has already been hired. Where the hell are we going to go now? I think there's a massive benefit. And I know this one's a little bit different. Like Virginia Tech hired Franklin. And he's not coaching currently, so he gets to go to Virginia Tech and have a big recruiting weekend last weekend.
Right.
And, like, that's kind of a unique example that you don't often get. So Morris is going to continue to coach. Who knows? Maybe they end up in the college football playoff. They might end up being the team that wins the conference. They could be playing in Eugene in a couple of weeks, for all we know, which would be kind of funny. But I think there's a massive benefit for getting it done now, giving him a little runway, because you know it. You know he's going to still focus on his team, but then you put the other hat on and you start calling recruits, and then the transfer portal is going to open up in January. So the earlier that you can get that done, the better, and I think it's a good hire for Oklahoma State.
So one domino falls in college football. Well, a couple of them, actually, because I mentioned Jim Mora Jr. there was hired by Colorado State, but the bigger job is Oklahoma State, and they have they've opted to go Eric Morris of North Texas. We'll get into a dirty poll. We got to get to the dirty poll today at the top of the hour. We'll dive into the NFL slate, which will start tomorrow. We're pretty excited about the football that's going to be on television in the National Football League. We'll get to the college football playoff ranking stuff. We may have had a hero emerge in college football yesterday.
We got a hero.
And a lot of people need to not make fun of this guy. They need to thank this person. He did the thing that nobody wanted to do. He took the bullet, and we all need to say, I hope it worked. I hope it worked.
Fall on that sword, man.
We're back.
Send this to all the youngs possible.
We're back with more 105.1 The Fan. We'll get into some college football at the top of the hour. We'll dive into some NFL a little bit coming up next. We'll kind of do NFL throughout the whole show, and we may have some big local news today during the show.
Oh, what are you saying?
I just tell you.
What are you hearing?
People
Boots
are talking.
On the ground.
People are talking.
Who could it be? Who could it be?
We going to Casa Diablo? Potato salad's vegan. Actually, it's not. It's got eggs in it.
I mean, you mentioned the Jim Mora one in the last segment. It's funny how we do this with, like, pro sports teams when you draft and who you take and who was available to take. And then you look back and you're like, God, it would have been really nice to have that guy.
I bet Jim Mora turns Colorado State into a good
program.
That's
what I was going to say. Like, that's another job. Like, Colorado State's not a better job than Oregon State.
No.
That's not. If Eric Morris is getting the Oklahoma State offer, he's not coming to a non-power
four
team.
You've got to take a power four
conference. He's taking that job. So that's irrelevant. But the Jim Mora one will be one that I think will go back in circle. Because I don't know how to feel about him. He's had a great year at UConn.
Dude, he's done pretty good at UConn.
I know. And he wasn't terrible. Like I didn't think
he was that bad at UCLA either.
He's
you.
A bit of their Bo Pelini.
Yes.
Like, you thought you could do better than that, didn't you? Now things 100%. Have gone sideways for you, and you wish you could have it back. So that's just one we'll circle probably 4 years down the road. If Colorado State's playing good and they're better than you in that conference, way to go, administrator.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a few schools that if Jim Mora does well at Colorado State, people are going to go, why didn't we consider him more? Like, I've already seen it from UCLA fan a couple weeks ago. They were posting, why did we fire that guy?
They wanted to bring him back.
I know.
That was the talk down there.
By the way, another job we didn't even mention. Where do they go? Is that, like,
they are so irrelevant
now. We keep saying this, and it's fair if people call us out on it, because I was thinking about this during the break. Like, we keep saying, well, this job's better job than that job. Like, is UCLA a better job than a good group of six school? You can say money, 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 but that AD sucks.
The AD sucks.
The boosters are reactionary idiots.
We didn't even talk about it on the show. They're moving from the Rose Bowl to SoFi.
So all the
history and the tradition that you had, you're paying $80 million to break that lease to go to SoFi. I wouldn't want anything to do with that job.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but it's in the Big Ten, right? Yeah. So you would say, well, that's a better job.
Right.
And I don't think all of them are the same.
You have to have everything aligned administratively, and I don't think there's any indicator that UCLA has that. And good luck hiring a head coach.
Well, on a show with two white guys, I'd like to sort something out here.
Oh, okay.
I would like to ask you if you agree with Kendrick Perkins.
I don't often agree with Kendrick Perkins.
That's a friend of the program, Kendrick Perkins.
Yes.
He used to be an Odyssey insider when he started his media life, and we had him on like three times.
We did.
Like, what are you joining us right now? I'm in my dining room. Like, oh, okay, right. Kendrick Perkins.
What's up, Kendrick?
He has since taken off. He's no longer an Odyssey insider. He no longer hops on our show. Instead, he hops on ESPN, he gives basketball takes people don't agree with, or he hops on podcasts, and he gives takes like this.
Shedeur Sanders is the most powerful black man since 2009. You know what happened in 2009?
Yeah.
That's when President Obama got elected in office. He's the most powerful black man since 2009.
Now, he had a three-minute follow-up to that, and I cut it, but I'll tell you right now, he then proceeds to tell you why, and then he ends it with, you know what? Scratch that. He's the most powerful black man in America, in sports. I'm like, and the reason, wondering.
Yeah, what's the reason?
One of the big reasons is.
What's the reason?
Did you run your TV to watch Shedeur play the Raiders?
No.
Well, you're not black.
Okay, my apologies. Okay.
He's talking to black people.
That game sucked. It was a horrible football game.
I just.
I don't know what it is about guys. Tebow was this same way. He was this for the whites. This was Tebow for the whites.
Tebow was this for the whites.
He was a little bit. Yeah, it just
Tebow's the most powerful white.
I mean, I guarantee you could go back and find a take like that. He's the most powerful white man since Jesus because he's got John 3:16 painted on his eye black and everybody's Googling John 3:16. And I guarantee you that take existed 20 years ago.
He's the most powerful since 2000. Now, what happened in 2000? George Bush.
That's right. Like, oh.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I don't know what it is about guys like this that just leads to the goofiest takes humanly possible. And I think it's just a cutting through the algorithm thing.
He's not even the most powerful black man on his team.
No, he's not. Myles Garrett is a more powerful black man on his own team. He's maybe the best defensive lineman. One of the best defensive linemen we've ever seen in the history of the NFL. I just, like, what are we doing here?
I don't know what that's
for.
How
do you go from, like, hey, I'm rooting for him to succeed. Look at that. He won his first start. The first Browns quarterback to win his starting debut since God knows when. It was
95.
Like 1995. Yeah. Been
the
forever.
Great Eric Zier.
Everybody remembers Eric Zier. Like, that's cool. He had a nice where he's rolling out, throws it 50 yards. He had a good debut. Why can't it just be as simple as that? Instead, we have to take it to the point that he's the most powerful black man in America right now.
If he's right on that, wouldn't he have evidence to say, like, the ratings for the window of the Raider-Brown game are...
I would argue his dad has been a more powerful black man recently because he had 15 million people watching Colorado State.
I don't think you need to make an argument for it. I think we know this is a ridiculous take.
People watched a 7:30 Colorado Stanford game to the tune of like 13 million 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That was the power of Deion Sanders at Colorado. Now it has all disappeared because he can't coach and he can't recruit and things have gone sideways. But that's more powerful than this.
I just
what if he throws three picks this weekend and loses, is he now no longer the most powerful?
I usually see, like, when I check Reddits and I read about, like, they'll put media member names and it'll be a post. And I'll click it, see comments, and be like, yeah, I don't like him. He didn't give any takes. There's always the reaction is like, they don't give takes.
You got to have a take.
That person's not that good. He doesn't give any good takes.
That's just good take.
And I laugh at that because I find it an idiotic thing to say. And then the follow-up is like, so, like, this is what people want. They just want you to say things like
this,
that.
Because it'll lead to this.
Now, who's the most powerful white in sports?
Oh, our most powerful.
If we're going
white.
By, you need to watch them. They make people like feel a certain way.
Yeah. I also love just Patrick Mahomes exists. He's won a lot of Super Bowls the last handful of years.
Oh, Mahomes.
Last time I checked, either team could claim him. He could go either way.
Yeah, we
in the draft,
taught us.
He could go, you know, who has the first pick is where Patrick Mahomes goes. But to the point on the most powerful black man, I think we, you know.
Is it Josh Allen? Is Luka in this?
Yeah, can we claim European
Luka
whites?
Luka was the name. Actually, Travis Kelce might be.
Oh, good one. You're right.
Yeah, his royalty.
The blending of different worlds.
Yes.
The music, entertainment
Mr.
world.
Mr. Swift.
With the sports world.
That's a good one by you, Swag.
That's a good one.
That's a pretty good one. Kendrick Perkins, Shedeur Sanders, the most powerful black man in sports. Most powerful since 2009 in general.
Since 2009. Nobody else has done anything bigger than what Shedeur Sanders is doing right now.
Beat the Raiders.
That Raider team, though, man. Look
Wasn't
out.
Wasn't that game available to like 2% of the country that day?
Yes. I don't know. I don't know what the TV
window was.
Because
it was a regional game, and that was like...
Nobody wanted to watch that game.
That's
that
a game,
game
you see
terrible.
Highlights for.
Exactly. Yes.
And you check a box score and you move on. Nobody wanted to watch Browns Raiders.
No, I need Berman that. Going, what? That's that game.
Yeah, that is that game. You're right. That is that game. We'll get into some NFL coming up next. Dirt and Sprague 105.1, The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. We have a lot to get to. We got a dirty poll today. We got the college football playoff stuff. A trend may have ended. We got the Magic Hat to get to in the 9 a.m. hour.
Yes, we do.
And Jake Thompson's going to join us from On 3 Ole Miss at 7:30.
A lot going on right now for them. Their next 72 hours are going to be wild and wonky.
We do not have Lucy Burge. Her normal stop time is start time is 9 a.m. Wednesdays. We do not have Lucy Burge today, so I apologize to everybody out there. Lucy's super busy, and we have a jam-packed, weird Wednesday edition.
Yeah, a little too much to get to today.
But she'll be on next week.
Yep.
And she liked the earbud report. I asked how it went sound-wise. She said, it sounded good for me. Is it good for you guys? And I said, we just care if it's okay for you. So
as long as it works, we're
good
to go.
She doesn't have to hold a phone on the YouTube anymore, so that'll help her a lot. We don't have a lot of time here with the NFL, but the NFL, as we mentioned yesterday, we got our Thanksgiving games.
We do.
I didn't pull the audio, but I found it funny. Joe Burrow basically saying it was tradition to wake up and not a lot on TV, so you turn a Lion game on and Stafford throws for 400 and loses.
Yeah.
People are like, that's you now. You're Matt Stafford.
You could throw for 389 tomorrow night and still lose to the Ravens.
What is the game you're the most excited for, though? Is it Packers-Lions or is it Chiefs-Cowboys?
It has to be Packers-Lions. It just has to be. The two teams, I think, are still the front runners to win that division. We've gone over Chicago's schedule. Now, Chicago could throw a wrinkle in this, beating Philadelphia on Black Friday. If they win that game in Philly, by all means, I'll eat some crow on that and say, Jesus, they might actually win the NFC North.
I think a lot of people are more with you on the Chicago thing. It's not even like a negative. It's just a reality.
They're a good little team. Good little team. There's nothing elite about them, right? If they win in Philly on Friday, though, then maybe I will change my stance that they can win the division. But if they don't, which I don't think that they will, it's going to open up the door for one of these two teams. And both of them have been interesting, to say the least. I think Green Bay is very good defensively. They've had games where they haven't been very good defensively. They've had moments where Jordan Love looks great and their wide receivers are flying around, and then they have moments where they can't get a first down to save their lives. Detroit is a team who has been up and down and blowing teams out and then an ugly loss and then blowing a team out, and then they've just been kind of herky-jerky this year. It hasn't been as smooth sailing as it was for them last year, and that's, you know, hey, go duplicate being the number one seed in the NFC. That's not an easy thing to do, or two seed, whatever they ended up being. But that for those reasons, and two teams who I think are still alive in the contender conversation in the NFC, the game's in Detroit. Remember how badly Green Bay beat up on them in week one and dominated them defensively? That to me is the game of the weekend, if at least the game of tomorrow.
It's weird to look at Detroit not in the playoffs.
Very weird.
Because I think we're viewing them as a playoff team. And to your point, like, there's a
Green
lot
Bay's
of time.
In there because of a tie.
Right.
7-3-1.
Well, but to your point, like, there's so many games left. There's not, but there is.
Yeah.
A lot of time for Chicago to fall back and maybe not be in it, or Green Bay to fall back right. A little bit more, because
when we've given you Chicago's schedule, it's brutal for the next month.
Well, it's like the Green Bay thing. Like, I know we didn't maybe all watch every second of Minnesota Green Bay, but seeing a decent chunk of that game, it wasn't like Green Bay lit them on fire.
No, Minnesota's good defensively, so I'm not going to kill him for it. But yeah, Love had 130 passing yards in that game.
You might not want to kill him for it, and I understand it because we respect Flores. But like, at some point, that offense being as dog crap as it is has to become it's an issue.
You're not wrong.
It's an absolute thing. It's no different to me than Denver.
Yeah.
And I know Denver is better than Green Bay, but what I mean is you can say that the offense not doing anything for three quarters is A-okay because the defense is elite. Yeah, until it is. And then they don't wake up in the fourth quarter and Denver loses in the playoff divisional round. Like, if that happens, I'm not going to be surprised. Denver winning the divisional round also wouldn't be a shocker. My point is we can dismiss the idea of certain things not being big issues, but if they're showing that they are consistently, it has to be a topic. So like if we were in Wisconsin doing a show,
yeah,
I would be dreading tomorrow. One, you whooped the Lions' ass.
You know
in week
they're
one.
Out for revenge. Yeah.
You know they're out for revenge. They're at home, so they don't have to travel on a short week. Yeah. I don't think they played particularly well last weekend.
Be wearing those sick throwbacks too on top of it. God, those are pure.
Wait,
pretty.
Which one are you talking about?
Just the pure silver helmet with the blue jersey. I'm assuming
you like that.
I love those uniforms.
I hate that uniform.
I love those Lions
uniforms. The '90s Lions uniform is elite enough.
I mean, they're
for me.
Great. They're great. They're all great. I love the throwback.
The Dolphin and Lions. The Lions don't get it as bad as the Dolphins, but they did that weird alteration to their animals,
yes.
And I don't like either one of them.
Yes, go back to the original logo. I'm with you there.
The blocky lion is much better than the sleek,
I'm with you there,
more forward lion, just like the old Dolphin wearing a helmet,
yeah,
and then that Dolphin having
elite.
A helmet.
That's an elite Dolphin.
That's an elite Dolphin, more so than whatever this new age one is.
Not going to disagree with you there. Love on the note of their offense the last 3 weeks. So remember, 2 weeks ago, they get Philly at home on Monday night. He threw for 176 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. They lost 10-7. They go on the road to New York. Now, he was banged up. I can't remember how much of that game he missed, but he left for a little bit, then came back in. Again, below 200 yards. Mm-hmm. He only completed 13 passes in that game. And this past week, they're at home against Minnesota, and they win the game because J.J. McCarthy might be the worst quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Right.
He threw for 139 yards and completed 14 passes. That's three straight games for Jordan Love, sub 200 passing yards. So, he's good. We all know he's good. I think he's one of those in the category of how good is he? Where do you actually put him? And do you trust him if something's on the line?
Like is he top eight? If I gave you a choice of eight quarterbacks in the NFL, would he be in your top eight?
God, he's...
I know we do that too much. It's cliche.
Borderline as humanly possible right now.
Because I put him in the Dak Baker...
Yeah.
Like, he's capable of looking amazing. I don't know who you trust of the three. But at any given weekend, he could be a top five looking quarterback, and he could also just be like back end out of top 10 quarterback.
I'll be fair to him. I'll give him back end of the top eight as I'm just scrolling through some names right now. I can't do it with the guys who have done it for 1 year. Like Drake May's had a great year. I need more than 1 year to say you're a top six quarterback in the league. And to be fair, this is what I did to Jordan Love after his one good year, and everybody said this guy's a bona fide top five
guy. Jaden Daniels got a lot of
Jaden
this.
Jaden Daniels
right?
got a lot of this last year. CJ Stroud was this after his rookie year. And then so I like if Drake May comes out and does next year what he's doing this year, by all means, dude, anoint him a top six, seven quarterback in the league, and I'm totally fine with that. But I think it's fair to say he's back into the top eight. I know they've been banked up at wide receiver, and that is not helping him a ton. At times they've struggled to run the football. That also has not helped, but I do believe that they have an elite defense, and I think the Denver comp is a good one, that they're going to be in a lot of games, and it might come down to him having to make a throw or two. Maybe that's the case for them tomorrow, but really excited to see how that one plays out.
We'll have more on the NFL. We have a loaded second hour. The Dirty Poll is going to kick off the second hour. It got a trend that might have been stopped in college football yesterday, and we might have a local bit of breaking news in the second hour or third hour of the show. So we'll get to a lot in hour number two, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
there was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.